You're listening to the podcast from King's Cross Church in Charleston, South Carolina. We're glad you're here. If you'd like to learn more about our church or want to know how to get involved, visit kingscross.org. We pray that as you listen, you experience the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
King's Cross. It's good to be with you. If you're brand new, my name's Chip. I'm one of the pastors here. We're glad that you are with us. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, maybe why don't you grab that? Turn to John 1. John 1, that's where we're going to be. I have one announcement as you are turning there on your way in. Hopefully you got one of these invite cards. It talks about our vision nights. I'm going to give you some details about this. The first thing I want to point out, though, and I'm glad somebody pointed this out to me after the first service, is the time on here is wrong. It says 6. It's 6:30. And so I know it says 6 on the slide. This is the reason that they should not let lead pastors be in charge of proofreading. Because if you go to the registration, which my staff created, the time on there is correct. But if you look at the thing that I worked with the designer on, I just missed it. And so sorry about that. We'll get those fixed. But it's 6:30, one of these four. If King's Cross is your church home, you need to be at one of these vision nights. The next 3 years are going to be transformational time, a transformational time in the life of our church. It's obvious that we are growing. Now, that's true not just numerically, though it is true numerically, but our reach is growing. Our local and global partnerships are growing. The opportunities that God is giving us to have gospel impact in our city and around the world are growing. So we are doing our best to try to be prepared for the growth that is coming our way. And one of the ways that we're going to prepare, it's not the only one, but one of the ways is we just have to address the fact that we're outgrowing our building, or we have outgrown our building. It's why we have 3 services, actually, is because we just don't have enough kids' room for all of the kids who are a part of our church. And so we're going to be talking about some ways that we might be able to alter the building to make room for the people that God is bringing to us. But if King's Cross is your church home, you just need to prioritize being at one of these four. It's very, very rare that I'll use the word need, saying when, that you ought to come to something. But you need to be at one of these vision nights. Child care is provided. We're going to have desserts catered in by Carmella's downtown. We'll get you in and out in an hour, 6:30 to 7:30. So please sign up for one of those. We're looking forward to talking about where it is that we believe God might be taking us next. Okay, John 1. If you're somebody who's brand new, maybe someone invited you, maybe you're just new to the area and you drove by or you found us online, however it was you got here. If you're brand new, this sermon for you is going to be a good window into why we're excited that you're here. If you're already here and King's Cross is your church, then for you, this sermon, excuse me, this sermon is me unashamedly trying to motivate you to invite somebody to come with you, assuming I don't die trying to do it. If I do, we trust the Lord. I've read Philippians. It's okay. It's me unashamedly trying to motivate you to invite somebody this week to join you next week. And we're all natural inviters. Yeah, it's like every one of us is an evangelist for things that we like. And so if you have seen The Odyssey, you have talked to at least one person about The Odyssey. Fair? And maybe you were saying, oh, it's overripe, you don't need to go. Or you were saying, oh, it's unbelievable. But if you've seen it, like this is the talking point of the summer when it comes to movies, right? We live in Charleston. We're a food city. You know, you can't go 2 or 3 days without somebody telling you about the great restaurant that they found that you just have to try. But the first time you went to Bucky's, you talked about it for a month, right? You just can't believe it. It's a brisket. It's so, right? And so we just do this. When we experience something, if we see or hear or we learn something that we enjoy that we think is good, all of us naturally invite other people because we want them to experience or see or hear or enjoy this good thing that we found too. Well, I think what God is doing in and through our church is just awesome. I think it's worth inviting people to. In part because our church is just healthy and growing, but more than that, because I believe that the gospel, as Paul says in Romans 1, is the power of salvation for all who believe. And I think that's worth inviting people into. And so, for example, next week for us is a big week. It's back to school this week. There are three major times of the year when people who don't normally go to church are the most likely to say yes to an invite. It's Easter, back to school, and Christmas. Like that's it. Those are the three times. And so what we try to do is leverage those natural rhythms of our community to take an opportunity to invite people to see and experience and hear and learn more about Jesus and the gospel. And so we try to partner with you to do things. Like, for example, we always have a new series that starts on the Sunday that school starts back. It's usually 3 or 4 weeks long. Typically, it's something that we think will connect with a lot of people. This next week, the series that we're going to start is called Good Intention. We're going to talk about topics that is just really healthy for us to kind of feel a little bit of tension between the two of them, practical, everyday, on-the-ground topics. The reason that we do that is because if you invite somebody, like we're all starting something new together next week because it's a new series. And so our text this morning in John chapter 1 is a good example of the importance of an invite. It's a good example of the way that, as the title of the sermon says, invites change lives. If you know the Gospel of John, if you've read through that, the beginning of it, the first 18 verses are just theologically dense. John talks about how Jesus is the Word of God, the Son of God, that He is the light of the world, that He is God in the flesh, that He is the one who shows us God the Father. He is the one through whom we have access to God's grace by faith. He's the agent of creation. In verses 19 to 28, John the Apostle, who's writing the letter, introduces us to another guy named John the Baptist. And if you don't know him, John the Baptist is the last of the Old Testament prophets. He's a forerunner for Jesus. He's kind of the guy that introduces, announces, if you will, Jesus' public ministry. In chapter 2, we get the first miracle that Jesus does. I mean, he turns water into wine at a wedding in Cana. But between John's preaching and that wedding miracle in chapter 2, between that, we get a series of invites that lead people to life change. So look at it with me. We're going to start with verse 29. And what I want to show you is three reasons why you should invite somebody to join you at King's Cross. Or if you're visiting and you have another church home, man, if you've got a church where the gospel is being preached, like three reasons why you should invite people to join you there at your home church. Look at verse 29. The next day he, which is John the Baptist in context, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John's been preaching outside of town. Word has kind of gotten around about him. People were used to hearing teaching and preaching about the scriptures in the temple and the courts, or maybe the synagogues if they didn't live in Jerusalem. But this is different. Now there's something happening, and it's in a really unexpected place, and people are like really intrigued by it. Right? It's like Cain Pazzo in Hanahan. Y'all know Cain Pazzo? A couple of you. If you don't, men, take your wife on a date, and you'll thank me. It's a good date night for you. But what you're going to think is like, why is this happening here? This seems like a weird place for a nice rest. This is what's going on with John's preaching. Two of you understand the illustration, but it's a good one. All right, so verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." So these crowds are gathering to hear John preach. They want to see what's going on. They want to see all these people are being baptized. It's different. It's challenging. It's kind of in this new part of town. They go out, and John's basic message is, "I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. I believe that he is the Messiah, and I want to tell you about it." That's the basic message. The first reason you should invite someone to join you at King's Cross is because preaching points people to Jesus. Preaching points people to Jesus. That's what John was doing. That's our goal on Sunday morning. We want to preach in a way that points you to Jesus. We sing to Jesus. We pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus. We give in response to Jesus. We fellowship with one another because of him, and we preach about him. And so if you are someone who would say, "Well, you know, I just don't know how to talk to people about Jesus," that's fine. We do. So just invite them here, and they will hear preaching that points them to Jesus. Now, I'd love to also get you connected to a small group so we can equip you to have gospel conversations on your own. But for now, invite people to hear preaching that points them to Jesus. Or maybe you're somebody who thinks, you know, I mean, there's just some stuff in the Bible that's offensive. There is. Let me say it. Right? And I'll kind of set you up for an after-church conversation where you can go to lunch with somebody you invited and say, "Yeah, that was a rough one. You know, this is hard for me too, but I've come to a place where I just believe Jesus was raised from the dead. And, you know, if somebody's been raised from the dead, I figure I should listen, even when it's hard." Well, I'm happy to tee up conversations like that for you. Or maybe you think, "Well, I would invite them, but I don't know if they believe in God." That's why you should invite them. Because what we want to do is we want to preach in a way that points people to Jesus so they can wrestle with what it is that the scriptures say about Jesus and whether or not they actually believe that, rather than just wondering if they agree with what TikTok says that people say about what the Bible says about Jesus. And so every single person who's a Christian, hopefully you'll agree with this, every single person who's a Christian used to be someone who wasn't. Fair? You're not born Christian. And so if you say, "Well, I just always believed." No, you did not. That is not true. Biblically, that's not the case. Everybody who's a Christian used to not be. And so what we want to do is preach in a way that points people, regardless of the text, to Jesus. And so sometimes the text that we're in that particular morning is challenging. Well, then the sermon's going to be challenging. Sometimes the text is comforting. Well, those Sundays, the sermon is going to be comforting. Some texts are confrontational and controversial even. Well, guess what the sermon's going to be that morning? Confrontational and perhaps even controversial. There are some texts that teach us about God. What they're really about is his character, his nature, who he is, what it is that he's done in human history. They really are instructive. Well, on those Sunday mornings, the sermon is going to be more instructive. It's going to convey information, a little more didactic, perhaps, than other times. Some texts are filled with commands to follow. And so on those Sunday mornings, what you're going to get is stuff to do or stuff to not do, depending on what the text is saying. But here's my promise to you. If you invite someone to King's Cross, we are going to preach in a way that points them to Jesus. So invite people to join you. Back to the text, verse 35. "The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,'" which means teacher, "'where are you staying?' And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So the setting has changed, right? In verses 29 to 34, John is preaching to a large gathered crowd. Here he is interacting with two of his disciples. Evidently, John was a grow group leader, which is awesome. We appreciate both. What he taught in large groups, he also taught in small groups. The second reason you should invite someone to join you at King's Cross is because small groups help people follow Jesus. Preaching points people to Jesus. Small groups help people follow Jesus. And if you're new, we basically have two goals with our small groups. We have two kinds, community and grow groups. But our goals, our small groups are designed to help you get connected to God and connected to other people. That's the goal. We'll talk about this. If some of you are going to be with us after the service in Starting Point, we'll talk a little bit more about this. But just quickly, so you're not kind of disoriented with our small group, we have two kinds, community groups. Community groups are co-ed. They have, 12 to 20 people or so in them. They're open, meaning you can join them at any time. They meet twice a month on the first and third weeks of the month. They meet in homes all around the city. At night, some of them have meals, some of them don't. Some of them have childcare, some of them don't. But you can find all of our community groups on the Church Center app. Go there, indicate you're interested. Somebody will call you this week and help you get connected. But we also have grow groups. Grow groups are a little more intense. They're 4 to 6 people. They're closed, meaning you can't just show up to one. You email Pastor Josh, he'll get you connected with a grow group. People stay in grow groups maybe a year or a little bit longer. They meet in the off weeks, so the second and fourth weeks of the month, and they meet all over the place in all kinds of days. So we have community groups and grow groups. But here's the challenge for our small group leaders. Unlike John the Baptist, they can't say, "There's Jesus, go talk to him." Fair? Because Jesus is not here. Jesus has ascended and one day will return. And so they can't do that physically. What they can do is help people follow Jesus. You've heard me say this before, but I would say it to you again. You need people in your life who know you and know the Bible. So you need to be connected into a community of believers who can help you follow Jesus. You need people in your life who can help you learn to read and understand and apply the scriptures in your life, practically speaking, in your day to day. And look, I love Sunday mornings, right? I do. I love Sunday mornings. But this moment, like the preaching moment on Sundays, by definition, it's monologue, right? It's just not dialogue. Even when I try to pull dialogue out of y'all, it's not dialogue. Right, y'all are responsive people. But right, it's what you can't do is you can't stop me in the middle of a sermon and go, "Hey, I got a question about that. I don't really understand that." You know, my understanding growing up was kind of this. Like, I hear you and I believe that. I don't really think you don't really understand. You know, I'm a dentist and I don't know really how it is that might look in my like. There isn't a chance for us to wrestle back and forth with the truth of the text. And so, like, small groups give you the space to do that. Small groups are designed to help you follow Jesus. And you need people in your life who can help you do that. Like, you need people to help you follow Jesus when marriage gets so hard that you're thinking maybe you ought to just leave. Or you need people to help you follow Jesus when parenting gets so discouraging that you think, like, I have totally failed at this. I've just jacked my kids up and I don't know what to do. Or like you get a new job opportunity and you're really wrestling, like, man, am I chasing money here or is this an opportunity from the Lord? I don't know, is this destabilizing my family or helping my family? You need people to help you sort through those things. You know, the world, I don't know about you, but like for me, the world just seems to be crazier every day than the day before. And sometimes you think, where's God? Like, is God paying any attention at all? You need people to help you wrestle through some of those. Later this year, elections are coming up, right? And maybe you think, I don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils. How do I engage in a way that's, you know, faithful here biblically and as a citizen? How do we wrestle through these things? And man, there's just some things we can't knock out in 2 or 3 minutes in the lobby while your spouse is grabbing the kids. Or you need time to be able to work through those things with people that you trust. As small groups are the place where that happens. They're designed to help you follow Jesus. So we do as best as we can to be a church whose preaching points people to Jesus and whose small groups help people follow Jesus. But here's the thing. I can't reach the people in your spheres of influence. Only you can. Like, I can't reach the people in the places you live, learn, work, and play every day unless you invite them here. And then together, right, we can have preaching that points them to Jesus and small groups to help them follow Jesus. But please hear my heart on this. Like, when we encourage you to invite people, it's not for us. Like, I don't care about going to some, you know, conference and saying, well, here's how many people's in my church. Like, it's not about me. It's not about the size of the church. The reason that I want you to invite people is because I genuinely believe, third, that invites change lives. Invites change lives. That's the reason for it. That's what we see in verses 40 to 51, right? Look at it with me. Verse 40. One of the two who heard John the Baptist speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under a fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So Andrew invites Simon Peter. Philip invites Nathanael. Two lives forever changed by an invite to come and see. Come and listen to and learn from and meet this Jesus of Nazareth who had made already such an impression on Philip and on Andrew. Literally in verse 46, an invite to come and see. And Simon Peter's ready, right? Evidently, from what we have, you know, Andrew goes, says, "Hey, we found the Messiah." And Peter says, "Awesome, where? Let's go." And sometimes when you invite people, that's the way it's going to be. Like sometimes somebody new moves in next door and you say, "Hey, I don't know if you found a church yet or not." And they go, "Oh man, we've been looking for a church. You go to church?" And you're like, "Well, that was really easy." But sometimes you're sitting in class, maybe, or it's after school, and buddy says, "Man, do you like your youth group?" I said, "Well, yeah, why don't you come check it out? You know, back to school bash on Sunday, and we do this and that." Well, that seemed pretty easy. You go to work, and your coworker says, "What'd you do over the weekend?" I said, "Well, you know, Saturday we went to the beach, and yesterday we went to church." And they go, "Oh, church. Well, like, what church do you go to? What time?" You think, like, wow, like some people are just ready the way Simon Peter was. And they're all, like, as soon as you, if you invite them, as soon as you start talking about the gospel or faith or Jesus, they're just all in. But some people are more like Nathanael. Right? Philip says to him, "We found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets spoke, Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael goes, "Nazareth? Messiah ain't coming out of Nazareth." Right? "What, you tell me there's someplace good to eat in a strip mall in Hanahan? No, man. We go downtown." Like, okay, I'm just telling you. It's pretty good, right? And sometimes when you invite people, they're skeptical like Nathanael was. They go, "Nah, it's not for me. I tried that once. You know, you don't believe that stuff, do you? I thought you were smarter than that. Hey, don't be trying to push your religion on me, man. Hey, don't you think that's kind of personal? Well, sometimes that happens. And what I love about Philip is Philip doesn't try to argue with him. He doesn't give him Jesus', you know, theological, genealogical resume. "Well, actually, the scripture said out of Bethlehem was going to..." He doesn't do that. He doesn't debate him. He doesn't argue with him. He just invites him. "I tell you what, why don't you come and see? Just, hey, I know you're skeptical. Why don't you come check it out? And let's just see what it is that's going on." It's an invite that changes a life. Do you believe that invites change lives? And it's not actually the invite, right? And we understand that. I mean, I'm saying that, but it isn't actually, like, you and I can't save people. We can't convince them that God exists. We can't convince them that Jesus was raised from the dead or that the Holy Spirit causes them to be born again by God's grace through faith in Christ. It's not the invite itself that does that. We know that. I mean, what is it about these invites that we're looking at here in John 1 that changes lives? I mean, is it, you know, what is it that kicks in with Peter and with Nathanael? What is it about an invite that you might extend to somebody that could forever change a life? Is it that Andrew and Philip have the gift of evangelism? No, Holy Spirit doesn't come until Acts chapter 2. Nobody has spiritual gifts yet, so it's not that. Is it that Philip had gone to seminary and gotten a master's degree in apologetics, so when Nathanael had this pushback, he was ready? No, it's just an invite. Well, maybe it was the Sunday that they went, like the sermon was just absolutely on the point. The band crushed it. No, there's no church yet, much less a church service for people to come to. Plus, the life-changing invention of Leo Fender and Les Paul wouldn't be made for another 1,940 years. There wasn't even an electric guitar then. What changes the life? I think there's at least three things in the text that are every bit as true for the people that you invite as it was when Andrew and Philip made their invitations. The first one is, invites change lives as people meet Jesus. I mean, that's what happens, right? Verse 42, Andrew brought Simon Peter to Jesus. You get down in verses 46 to 48, Jesus sees Nathanael and Philip coming to him. Peter and Nathanael met Jesus. That's why the invite changed their life. Who do you know that you would like to see meet Jesus? Who do you know? Who are you praying for? Who do you have a burden for? You just want them to see, to experience, to hear, to learn about Jesus and this life-changing, world-redefining person that he is, work that he has done. Can I encourage you? You are not going to argue so convincingly that someone you love would come to faith in Christ. I'm not going to preach so compellingly that somebody just immediately is born again. We're just not going to do that. Our small groups are not Like, we do a great job with them, but they're not so transformative that people just show up and like 3 weeks later, their marriage is healed and their addictions are broken and their estranged children have returned home and communities are being transformed. Man, there's some stuff only God can do. It just has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. You and I can't do those things. But there are some things we can do. And one of those things is we can invite people to meet Jesus, knowing that an invite might just change their life. We don't want it to stop there. There's a lot of people that meet Jesus and walk away, right? You know people. And that's why our hearts break for that. But what we see in Simon Peter and Nathanael is they meet Jesus, and then second, they believe in him. And now we're starting to see, oh, that's how the change comes. It's an invite. They meet Jesus, and not, it doesn't stop there. Now they believe in him. It's implied with Simon Peter. It's explicit with Nathanael because he says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And ultimately, that's our goal. Like, we want people to meet Jesus and believe in him. Believe that he lived a life of perfect obedience to God, that he perfectly submitted to God's will. And we know that's the type of life we should have led, but we haven't. And we want them to believe that Jesus did that and that he willingly gave up that life, dying a death that we deserve, knowing that the punishment for our sin is death. And he paid the price that God demanded of us in our place as our substitute. We want them to believe that he rose again from the dead so that they can have an assurance that the promises that he made, the promises that the scripture made about him can be relied upon. We want them to believe these things, that they wouldn't just come and have an experience, but they would encounter the living Christ and be transformed by God's grace through faith in him. So, okay, so you're just after converts. I see how this is. No. Like, I mean, in a sense, I guess. Like, I want more people. I want more people who are not Christian to become Christian. Yes and amen. Like, we're not apologizing for that. But not like for some kind of tally sheet count, right? Ultimately, invites change lives because people meet Jesus and they believe in him. And then third, they inherit his promises. They inherit the promises of God through him. Look at verse 50 and 51 again. Jesus says to Nathanael, wait, because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You're going to see greater things than that. That's promise number one. And then he says, truly, truly, I say, you'll see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's promise number two. The first promise, the way I read it anyway, the first promise is, hey, Nathanael, you're going to see some stuff. That's now. That's this life. And you're going to see heaven opened. That's then. That's future. That's eternity to come. And don't we want both for people? Like, man, I want to see the people that you invite. I want to see their lives radically changed now. I want them to experience the goodness of God now. And for all of eternity to come. Well, we want people to inherit the promises of God. We want them to have life to the full. We want them to be made new, to experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, to know the joy that is becoming a part of the body of Christ that is the local church, inherit the promise of living forever in a new heaven and a new earth in the very presence of God. That's the goal. The goal is for them to meet Jesus and believe in him and inherit his promises. Like, who do you want to inherit the promises of God? Because, y'all, I want as many people as feasibly possible to inherit the promises of God. I do not need to hoard it. There's plenty to go around. I want people from every tribe, tongue, nation on earth to inherit the promises of God. Man, I don't want anybody to be close to me and far from him, especially not for all of eternity. And so what I would ask you to do is to pray. genuinely to pray. Not just once, but you just keep on praying and ask God to put somebody on your heart, to give you a burden, to give you a name of somebody that you can invite to join you. And then just invite them. Invite them so that they can meet Jesus and believe in him, and that they might inherit the promises of God with you, with us. That's the goal. Let's pray. Father, I'm here in this place. I would have never imagined doing this thing I never saw coming, because you put people in my life who brought me to church. I'm thankful for them. Would you help us to be a people who are burdened for people? That our hearts are burdened for the thing that burdens yours. That we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to radically change lives. Would you help us as a church to be faithful, to preach in a way that week after week, after year, after decade, points people to Jesus? Would you make us a community of faith that loves one another enough to help each other follow Jesus? Father, would you change lives through King's Cross? Not for our sake, for the sake of the people that we love, for the sake of the glory of your name. That your goodness and your gospel might be proclaimed and experienced and lived for all eternity. We ask these things in the name of your Son. Amen.
My name's Josh. I'm the associate pastor here at King's Cross Church. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Take a moment to subscribe, and you'll get each week's message automatically. We invite you to join us as we grow in the gospel, connect in community, and live on mission. May the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.